It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. We have our usual suspects, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
Bonjour.
You're here. And also we have Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Two of the great classic rock songs of all time. We can play China Grove and we can play LaGrange, but ZZ Top and the Doobie Brothers, both of you. I think they'll be very appropriate right now. But
yeah, speaking of the Doobie Brothers, Dave, it's funny I'm sure they do it at South Carolina as well, but at Carson High School, one of the two schools here in China Grove, at the basketball game a couple weeks ago. Yeah, in between each game, they were playing it.
All right,
I thought you were going to say they were smoking doobies.
That was probably going on, too, somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, no doubt. We're here.
No doubt.
Yeah, we're here, and want to talk about the basketball game, and I think Mike Houston was the best part of the basketball game, but we'll talk about Pirates go down a 5-game losing streak, not what Coach Dooley wants, and 71-51, they lose to USF. And Bubba, I know you were there in attendance, and just disappointing, right? We started off with a good lead, and just talk about the game.
Yeah, me and Riley were able to make it down yesterday. Still had fun, even though it obviously wasn't the outcome we had hoped for, but yeah, we jumped out to that 13-point lead right out of the gates, and then USF answered with an 11-0 run to cut it to 2, but we responded, pushed it back out to 10, and then they closed the half on a run and took a 2-point lead into the break. But then with less than 17 minutes to go in the game, we had, I think it was a 1-point lead, but from that point on, that's what I think, USF hit something like 9 out of their first 10 shots to start the second half, and their freshman from France, the 6'8", 240 Alexis Yetna, after having 8 points in a decent first half, he had been sidelined by foul trouble in that first half, so he scored 20 points and grabbed a ton of rebounds and finished the game with 28 points and 13 rebounds, 11 of 13 from the floor. So it was just one of those things where in the second half, after we had that 1-point lead with a little under 17 to play, they pushed it out to 10 or so pretty quickly, and it kind of went back and forth from like 9 to 13, and we just couldn't get the necessary stops and couldn't get buckets when we needed them, and then they pulled away down the stretch to win by 20. Like you said, 77 to 57.
What I saw was a basketball team that got worn out in the second half by a team that was playing just as hard and giving just as much effort and has more talent. When you have a team playing just as hard as you and giving just as much effort as you because they need that win just as bad as you do and they're more talented and have more size than you, you're not going to win that battle.
Yeah, and I was going to say for everybody listening that are basketball fans, we're obviously disappointed, all three of us and everybody that are Pirate fans, but I think the one thing that comes to mind is that very thing, is that there are going to be games that Coach Dooley said that where we're going to get, like after the Temple press conference, he said, you know, guys, we're going to have to play at a high level and to have a chance to win, and even then we may not win. And I think that's what happened here, is that it's going to be a tough year for us, but the good news is let's stick together and rally behind these coaches. They're playing like crazy. The players are playing like crazy. The coaches are out recruiting like crazy, and let's stick behind them because we've got the right formula when it comes to winning at East Carolina with the coaches we have. It's a matter of getting literally more talent in. And you had, Shepard, Watley, we had a few guys that had to be between leaving, or they had to pretty much leave the program for various reasons, and I won't get into that, but it's a sad situation there that we already started kind of behind the eight ball. No excuses, but
I think you may have accidentally said Watley. In addition to Jeremy Shepard, Kentrell Barkley.
Barkley as well, those three. I mean, you're down those three right there, and you've got a young guys. But the good news is they're getting a ton of experience, And with the recruits over the next 2 years, we've got a lot of great things to celebrate, and we're just going to have to keep going back to the office every day between practice and the games, and suffer, looks like, through this season. However, the good news is you know that things are, instead of being frustrated like, here we go again, I think it's a bit it's different this year, knowing that the future is very bright.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Kyle.
I think most people are giving Dooley time. It's year one, he's starting a bunch of young guys. Clearly, we're at a size disadvantage.
Yeah.
I think most people know it's going to take time.
And he knows, and we also, he has a track record that not only was winning here before, but look what he did at Kansas recruiting. He's a national champion as far as being a coach, being the number two guy that Bill Self, a Hall of Famer, and the second most wins of all time in the country when it comes to basketball wins, the Kansas program is. So,
yeah, every year at Florida Gulf Coast, they went to the postseason.
Yeah.
So he's a good coach. He'll get a turnaround in here. Just give him time, and it'll work itself out one way or another.
Another point or two I was going to make. I don't think you guys have already said this. Jaden Gardner, he finished with 15 and 15, so another double double for him. And then, like you guys have already mentioned, just generally speaking, our margin for error is so slim right now. And Sean Williams knocked down 4 out of 10 threes, but then outside of Sean Williams, as a team, we were 1 out of 11 from beyond the arc.
Oh man.
No threats. KJ Davis is 0 for in the last two games, like 0 for 5. And rebounding, when we were talking to Jim Lighthall in our preview, we talked about what a solid rebounding club the Bulls are.
Yeah.
And we got beat 41-32 on the glass and 16-10 on the offensive boards.
Yeah, that's not as bad as what I thought based on the score, but it's still enough to do that. And how about free throw shooting? Did we?
We didn't shoot them particularly well, but neither did they. One of the big things that we haven't pointed out yet, I mentioned how we didn't have good offensive possessions in the second half particularly, and we turned the ball over 16 times in the game.
Yeah.
And USF only turned it
there
over. They only turned it over 6 times.
Yeah, that's right there. Yep. Hello, the question, you were in the ball game yesterday, mentioned free throws. Just a question about the Maniacs. Are they still doing free throws when ball games won?
That's a good point, Kyle. During the game, I was talking to Riley, of course, some, but I don't recall it now that you asked that. So,
well, thank God.
But they may have been, so don't hold me to that. But, yeah,
no.
I'm like you. That's not something that I'm a fan of.
No, it's terrible.
I think at least they're in the game, but it's goofy.
Exactly.
But I do like what the Pep Band does, where they have the basically what amounts to a fat head.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cool. They have Sandra Bullock, and they have, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. In the past, they've had Johnny Depp as the pirate.
Yeah, Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
That was, that's part of the thing I like a lot. And how was the crowd overall? I haven't heard the attendance.
It was 46-10, I believe. So right there, I don't think it was right there. It was more than Cincinnati, I believe, and then just shy, not quite what we had for North Carolina A&T, which is surprising. But like, who would have thought that'd have been our top attended game when you're having the likes of Cincinnati and
everybody was
and Temple, yeah.
So overall, we're disappointed, but the Pirates will bounce back. I know they will, and. Just got to keep, like I was saying, going to the drawing board, going to work every day and with the lunch bill, and we'll keep working hard. I know they will. We won't be, but they will be. Well, you're going to be working hard on the shooting your jumpers?
No, but I'll be working hard.
Well, I know you're working hard. You are.
Something else I wanted to point out, I think I didn't walk all the way around the arena, but I think that more concession stands may have been open. I know that's something that John Gilbert and Ryan Robinson wanted to make a priority. And Ryan Robinson said when he walked in for his first game, I think it was against Cincinnati, and he saw the way things were and the concessions and that kind of thing, as far as selection and number open and how slow they are. And he said, this has to be corrected.
Yeah.
And like I was talking about, Kyle, you and I were talking about, we've talked about before, is that why not have some food truck vendors, like if they can do inside stuff. Things like that would be really, really cool. So, Ryan,
there's more options. Some of the options you have for football, right. You know, just having them set up. But, you know, at least have more concession stands open and having them staffed. And, yeah, but I would like, you know, it would be nice to have more options there like you have for football.
Chick-fil-A, pizza,
sure.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Parker's.
Parker's,
you know, if Delaware wants to. You know,
Mac Waffles.
Yes. I mean, and it'd be reasonable. You can't expect them to be paying the same amount of vendor space as they do for football.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's. I'm glad, you know, Ryan. We need to get him on the show, guys. I really, really like him. He really seems to have a good personality and get what's going on. He's external marketing and all. I don't know what his exact title is. I guess he's doing Shelley Vinegar's old job.
Yeah.
And the job that, I guess, is it the job that Weatherby used to do?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, I mean, he seems like he gets it. You know, it'll be interesting to see what he does with the football as far as coming up
with the ideas. I do have a question for him. This is a Kyle from LaGrange question for him.
All right.
I want to see if, since he worked for the Jaguars, if we can get one of those pools or something, so the early, you know, the early games we have,
also the girls,
we can get the co-eds and the pools. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
We can get more people. We can sell more tickets that way.
That's a good idea.
We can get a pool and then we can get a pirate ship like the Bucks have. So, combine the two.
I tell you what, have a contest where you get the dance team and the cheerleaders in the pool in bikinis, and you can win a chance to watch the game with the dance team and the cheerleaders in the pool.
Well, I'll be able to win that one.
That's a good contest. I'll raffle tickets for that, baby.
That's where we can sell more, raise more money for the program, right?
That's exactly right.
And suddenly, girls no longer want to be cheerleaders or dance team members at East Carolina.
Actually, Bubba, the numbers just went up.
I guess it depends on who wins.
By the way, this portion of the Sports Objective is sponsored by Gillette.
Hey, and I know some older women that middle-aged women that would certainly love to be in the pool with Pirate Steve.
Because
you always see the comments on Facebook about Pirate Steve.
That's right. What's an older woman? How old are these women you're referring to, Bubba?
I'm sorry.
How old are these women you refer to? You're referring to as older women.
I corrected myself. I said middle age.
How old are they?
I'd say, 30 to 50. I mean, anywhere in there. Anywhere in there.
30 is middle age?
No, I'm 37.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I know 30's a little bit younger than middle age. But
yeah. I have a question for you, Bubba. Would Stacy get in the pool with Pirate Steve?
I'm sure she probably would.
Yeah.
That means if she does, I'm trying to look out for you. If she does, then you can get in the pool with the
cheerleaders and dance team. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm trying to look out for you. All right.
And that would go over very well.
Well, if you're letting her in the pool with Pirate Steve, I mean, fair is fair.
Yeah.
I'd be divorced before the game was over.
Really? Well, then you can't go in the pool with Pirate Steve. No pool with Pirate Steve for you, Stacy. Sorry.
Okay, well, yeah, we tried. We tried to help Stacy out, too. let's move right along. I know that I've been brought the plane crashing down. What did you guys think about? I thought it was awesome with Mike Houston with this halftime speech. I want to get your take, both guys, and we can talk a little bit of that before we go to our first guest.
That was great. Mike gets it. He knows how to engage the audience. He knows how to get people fired up. It doesn't come off, though, as fake. It comes off as how he really feels. You know, just the way he talked about, you know, little things he did. And in his interview on ESPNU also, he talked about the current players, how they're buying in, how he knows they're going to, you know, work hard, things like that. I mean, that's good stuff. What he's doing is recruiting those guys to play for him. And the way he addressed the fan base and didn't back down, said we have a score to settle. Now, he wasn't the head coach here when NC State blew us out. But, you know, saying we have a score to settle with NC State. I mean, that's not backing down. There's no need to. Because even if we don't win the game, that's what we're thinking is we need to settle that score with NC State. I mean, and look, they blew us out last year. And you know, we've got a long way to go to rebuild this thing. And, you know, NC State, you know, they'll probably be a two-touchdown favorite going into that game. But that's the attitude you have. You can't back down. You got to come out swinging. And right. So I like that. I like the attitude. Montgomery wanted to talk about the chip. I don't think anybody's going to have to talk about the chip. You don't talk about the chip. The chip's just there.
It's understood.
Exactly. So I thought it was great. No complaints at all about his halftime speech. One thing I will say, his ESPNU interview, I've noticed a speech pattern through interviews with him. He says, you remember Skip Holtz said turn, and Ruffin said all three sides of the ball, and Tony Peterson said, you know what, Coach Houston likes to say no doubt. No doubt.
What did you have the no doubt count at? I think it was six.
It was a lot, man. I lost count on that ESPNU interview. It was anywhere between 6 and 10.
There was one comment he made. I think either the color analyst or the play-by-play guy for ESPNU made a comment about the awesome pass that Jaden Gardner made and said, and well, hopefully, I know Coach Houston will be liking or would like to see some passes like that on the money from Holt Nailers or something to that effect. And he said, he said, no doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't care. So you can say no doubt every day as long as we win games, man.
No doubt. But no, absolutely. It's just interesting. And that's not a critical comment. That's just
I know.
It's interesting to pick up on. People have habits of speech, and that is, and we've had quite a few head coaches that have had them. And that's something he says a lot. And again, it's not critical. It's just something I've noticed. And other people might not notice it at all. I just pick up on someone.
It's an observation. It's just an observation.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not a criticism. I love, believe me, Mike Houston was my first choice. I can't believe it. Thrilled.
And not only that, but the fact that we got the man that I wanted, the age is like, he's like right at my age. I've never had that before in a coach. Like, that's something like my generation. You know, Coach Montgomery was younger, and they thought that going younger would mean that they could relate to the players and all that. And I think what relates to the players is that he's a winner, and he's been a winner everywhere he's gone. You look at every coach they have, I think it's a nice little blend of young and old they put in there. And I'm excited. By the way, before we go to our first guest, too, I want to mention, Kyle, I'm hoping that you can be my date to the National Signing Day party they have coming up on February 6th. I'll put you out here. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. There's a game afterwards. You can come with me to the game, and we can have a great time, and Jeff as well.
I'm going to try to go to that on February 6th.
You get off at 4 o'clock? Just
well, someday.
Well, I know y'all got a busy time right now, I know. But.
Yeah, I should be able to work that out, February 6th.
Yeah, we're part of the media. What we're talking about, folks, if you don't know, if you missed it, the National Signing Day. Mike, you know, it's amazing. Everybody probably thinks that we're sucking up, some we're not. This group we've got in here, you were talking about Ryan Robinson, but John Gilbert, A+, man, he's having this big event with Coach Houston, and what they're going to do is they're going to have Coach Houston talk, and Gilbert's going to be the master of ceremonies. And you have, for the offensive side of the ball, you have Donnie Kay. That's Donnie Kirkpatrick, for folks who don't know. And then you have Bob Trott for the defensive side of the ball. This is your chance, folks, free, to meet Coach Mike Houston and the staff, and for those that I mentioned. And John Gilbert's going to be out there again. Somebody is coaching him well, and I think,
You know what's so funny about this, David, is what they're doing, man, is just stuff that should be done. But it was so bad under the previous administration. It seems like they're going above and beyond. They're doing all this super duper special stuff. when really all they're doing is stuff that should be done. But the previous staff was so damn inept, and just, and we were just, you know, it didn't matter. The common man, the average fan, well, you know, what do we matter? Why do we do
a Sunday
party? Yeah. So, I mean, so hats off to them. They're doing it the right way, and need to keep it up and turn this thing around. You know, I do think it's really unfortunate with the Southside opening and us having Mike Houston. I think season ticket sales will be hampered a little bit by having two FCS opponents in the Shane, Virginia Tech, put us in this situation. Because, you know, I do think they're going to be up anyway, but I think they could have made a huge increase. And, you know, but maybe the price point.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to figure out what it may be.
Right.
Because last year for 7 home games, what was it, around
300?
Was it 300 or 350?
I know it was at least 300 in my section. I'm pretty sure. I'll have to double check that. But
I think it may have been 350.
Okay. So if we're losing a home game, and then we're having FCS, you know, they could just send them 2 to 250. You know, maybe 2 to 225, something like that.
I think 250 would be it. Don't you think that would be good, where you don't have to lose too much? But yeah, it's definitely. That means you could get 4 tickets. In my case, for $1,000, I really think
it's realistically possible when they maybe shoot to the 250 with 2 FCS opponents.
Yeah.
I really could see it 225, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was actually as much as 375.
Last year?
Okay.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and there was 375, and then there was 350, yes.
Okay,
yeah,
what was
so there
375?
The 250, 275.
Club's here back, and then the 350 was the Pirate Club priority.
Okay, that was probably, okay. Most people paid. So that was probably your cut down on us, brother.
Yeah, the economy plan at 235.
Okay, so.
So like the upper deck would be like 235, and then.
So that was for 7 games. All right, so you knock it off 1 game, so that's going to knock season tickets down. Let's say $40 right off the top of the head, 40 to 50. So that takes it down from 350 to 300. Let's just make it easy, and then you're going to drop it to an FCS. Yeah, 250 is probably going to be about right, David.
Yeah,
250.
And by the way, our buddy Stephen Igo from VoiceTheColors.net. We should have an announcement on Wednesday about William and Mary or whoever the FCS opponent is. So that's what it's looking like. So we should know something on this Wednesday, being the 30th of January. We'll know who the FCS opponent is, and we can go ahead. And I know that John Gilbert wanted to have the non-conference, all that stuff ready.
Yeah, and are we sure it's going to be the 21st? Because we don't have a game scheduled for the weekend before that, the weekend of the 14th. Everybody's assuming that's going to be a conference game or an off week, but I guess theoretically we could easily play the FCS game that week just as easy.
Yeah.
So we may not be the 21st. We'll be interested to see if it's the 21st or the
21st. Yeah, I wasn't talking about that, but I was talking about the when he's going to announce it.
I know. I'm just saying.
When it's going to be? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. If it'll be the 21st or if it'll be moved now. Yeah, depending on when William and Mary or whoever could play it.
William and Mary, this is one of those 4 that I mentioned to you guys when I was looking at the possibilities. And the 21st was open, so that's one of the reasons I thought it would be them.
Okay, that's probably
when we maybe keep it then. Yeah, we'll see.
I think that would be ideal, better than playing. Yeah, I think they would rather do that if possible rather than playing back-to-back home weekends against an FCS opponent.
And I think I would do that. Makes more sense. Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, this is going to be William and Mary's 4th game, and they have a couple of FCS opponents in games 1 and 3, and then I think game 2 is actually in Charlottesville against UVA.
Okay,
so Mike London facing his former team, and then so
is Mike London and William and Mary now?
Yeah.
Okay. Where was he?
University of Richmond. Then he went.
No. He wasn't. Well, that was a long time ago.
Prior to getting the UVA job, he won that national title.
Correct. And then he went to UVA. Where was
he? Oh, after UVA?
Yes, he had been at Howard.
Howard, that's right. They had a big upset his first year there. Who was it?
Who was it they beat?
Somebody out west. It seems like it was somebody Mountain West or Pac-12.
While Bubba's looking that up, I tell you what, folks, we'll let Bubba look that up, and let's go to our first guest. Had a chance to talk to Rachel Barbeau, one of my favorites. She's actually on SiriusXM at various times and also covers the national championship and works for the college football playoff as well. Let's talk to her, and we'll find out more about her great initiative called Changing the Narrative. And let's go to her interview right now.
Very happy to have our next guest. I've enjoyed her work for a long time. I discovered her on SiriusXM several years ago on a Sunday night. I was talking about Rachel Barbeau. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to have you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Wanted to talk some college football. I know you had a chance. We waited because I know you were doing the national championship. We're a few weeks removed from that, maybe a month now almost. What do you think about the season? We'll kind of get a little recap first from you.
I think it's really interesting, that Clemson obviously has emerged as another superpower. You know, there for a while it was Alabama. And then Clemson has emerged. And I also think it's really fantastic and also very riveting that Dabo does it much differently than Saban does in the Alabama process. I saw something the other day that said, you know, it's not that we don't have our own process, it's just that our process focuses on relationship, you know, versus the actual minutia of it. And so, you know, for me, I doing work for the CFP as their college football playoff influencer and insider and getting to interview Rob Mullins every week after the announcements in the news now that he's coming back next year to do this again. It's a tough job to be grilled, to be, you know, asked and all of those things, you know, every week about the decisions of the committee when so many people, you know, want different things and want expansion, those things, which I think this year really just showed us, you know, these two teams were the creme de la creme. You know, it's just interesting to me. Now we have Clemson and Alabama, and they're so different, too. They're so different. And I think the other thing that is really captured our attention that it's probably an overarching theme of the 2018 season is the transfer portal and what that looks like now and really what the landscape is going to look like with these quarterbacks at different positions next year.
I know even Rachel, I was talking to a gentleman a few weeks ago from ESPN, Chris Spatola, but we're talking about the transfer. I mean, it was crazy how in basketball, even how there was a guy who was in the state of Washington. He finds out that he can definitely transfer. So now he's like, he went from a plane from the state of Washington all the way to Tennessee. It was crazy. And just to think about the transfer rule, even though I do in favor of the players and obviously the student athletes, it's still a little crazy when it comes to the whole atmosphere landscape of college athletics.
Yeah, and I love Chris. I work with Chris and fill in on his show when he's out doing basketball on the ACC channel. I'll actually be on there tomorrow. So I think the world of Chris. And listen, I'm with you. I think what you're saying is, you know, you're in favor of the – and by the way, I meant just a moment ago quarterbacks at different schools, not different positions. But, you know, I think what you mean is – and if it's true that I feel the same way, I'm all for player rights. I'm all for players having the ability to do what they need to do, and especially at the quarterback position where there's just one of them. But at the same time, there is a part of me that is very old school, and I don't even know if you call this old school, that believes that, you know, if you were to give these guys truth serum 5 years down the road, that some of them wish maybe that or will wish that they didn't leave. You know, they didn't make that emotional reaction. They didn't make that emotional decision. So I'm curious about that. I don't want guys to do that. And I know there are guys that have decided to put their name in the portal and then taken it out. And so, you know, that's interesting to me, but we are definitely in a new day and age of college football.
Yes, we are in the days of those of us that come up from playing in next man, next person up, if you will, especially the ladies as well. all of a sudden it goes now from next man, next woman up to, well, if you're not going to play me, I'm going to, that's the way it feels. I'm going to go to another university. I don't know. I guess that's why we had the transfer rule to begin with, so we would not have so much chaos in college athletics.
Yeah, it does. And it feels reminiscent of, I'm going to take my ball and go home. You don't want to play with me. I'm going to take my ball and leave you. And, you know, that's unfortunate. But at the same time, you know, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, and I completely understand that, and I recognize that and admit it. But at the same time, we're in a place with college football where player rights, and, you know, they're obviously not getting, you know, paid. I'm not in favor of that. They get the stipend, the increased cost of attendance. But they do deserve to have rights. If anything, this coaching carousel, I said to myself maybe a couple months ago, I said, oh, you know, this one's not going to be crazy. This season's, you know, not bull. Wrong. I should not have spoken. It's been absolutely nuts. And I bring that up to say, my friend, is you got guys that are there for 3 months, 1 month, 6 weeks, 2 days. Yeah. They don't even get a chance to unpack their offices, and they're gone. But yet the guys have to stay. The players have to stay somewhere. So, again, I recognize and I understand all sides of it. I do think it's a sticky situation. And some people are already calling it the Wild Wild West. I hope we don't get there, but I understand people's sentiment that we are.
As far as I know that for your network you work on, what we were talking earlier about playoff expansion. Is that something that you're in favor of? Or, I mean, my perspective is I'm from a school that's on the outside looking in. Even if we go 12-0, we're right now, I don't think we have a chance to get in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would be in favor of something like 6, a major power. And the other thing is, though, it depends on how you do it, because I don't always want your conference champion. I don't want your conference champion if they've got 3 losses. You know, I don't want your conference champion just because it's your conference champion. I want the best teams in the country. Do we want the most deserving, or do we want the best? I think that's the question we really have to ask ourselves. But I also think that, you know, per UCF and there are other teams in the history of college football that have just been so dang good that they deserve a shot at the big boys. And we saw that, you know, a year before last with UCF and Auburn. And so, you know, I definitely think that there would be something, there could be some way that we could tweak it. And I think it's very big that for the first time ever, you have a group of 5 representative and Terry Mohair from Arkansas State. I think that's a big move. I think it's a significant move. I do not think that's just a fanfare move, if you will. And so, you know, that's a step in the right direction. The other thing that I thought was interesting is Bill Hancock said there is no look-in, right? Like there is, I thought for the longest time, most of us thought a contract is made to be broken. And he said, you know, emphatically that there is no look-in. And so we're now coming up on the 6th year. So that means we have 6 more years of the college football playoff as it is, if that is true. And I don't know Bill Hancock to be a liar. He's the utmost character person that I know. If that's the truth, then we got another 6 years of the current format.
Well, we'll just have to I pray before I die that maybe my Carolina will make it there. But certainly we have – our own work to do. We have to get just to a bowl game right now. We've had a really tough year, tough few years here. It's really hard to watch your team that you've known to be so good to lose and have 3-3-9 seasons. Very rough, for sure. I wanted to talk about your career too for people, and then obviously I don't want to forget. Obviously, change the narrative as well. But talk about where folks can hear you. What happened is I work. My regular job, I work 12:30 to 9. I just happened to have you on SiriusXM on what's now ESPN, your radio, and I was listening one night and heard you and enjoyed you and the other co-host on there, and that's how I found out about you. But can you tell people how they can listen to you before we let you go?
Absolutely. You know, here's the deal. I never set out to break any, you know, any ceilings. I never set out to break any boundaries. I was just trying to keep a roof over my head, my friend. You know, that's literally all I've ever wanted, you know, tried to do, and just try to stay in the business, you know, because it's a very hard business to stay in. I mean, my gosh, the week of the national championship, I'm out in California and got a message from two or three friends, literally, that had gotten let go, that were, you know, that were fine writers, that were damn fine, you know, reporters. And it's just a subjective business. So it's a really hard business to be in. And I never, I had aspirations, of course, but, you know, it was really just trying to survive. And I guess just being super tenacious. And also, I think people in this business need to find out what they're really good at and run towards that with everything they have. So I do a lot of different things, but I find myself, my best thing is radio. And there aren't a lot of females in sports talk radio. And so, I just kept working my way up. Columbus, Georgia, Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, Atlanta, and then Sirius called and made me the first female host ever on their collegiate station. And there's just now in the past year or so been another, you know, female, Kate Scott, out of the Pac-12, and now Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic, have been the other two. So that's been a distinction that's been, you know, pretty amazing. And then getting to work for the last 5 years with the CFP is just, because I'm like you, you know, I've been doing radio long enough that where there was a time where I never thought we'd have a playoff. I mean, I thought we would be beholden to the BCS for our entire lives, and we'd be arguing about it till we were 90, right? And then we get this college football playoff, and it's amazing. So, yeah, I just feel very fortunate. And the other thing is, I think that I'd love for people to know, they follow me maybe, or my work is, you know, one of the things that I've been really big on is I've mentored 35 women in just over 5 years. Wow. And so many women in our industry are terrified to share their secrets because they're terrified that the 26-year-old is going to take their job. And my feeling on that is, if it's for you, it's for you, right? So what's for me is not for you. What's for you is not for me. And I can't take your destiny from you. You can screw it up, you know, if you do that, but I can't do that. And so I think so many women in our industry, it's starting to change, but especially when I got in about 10, 13 years ago, so many women, I had no female mentor, and so many women in our industry were, you know, too afraid to share their talents. So they were literally dying or retiring or getting out of the business without sharing their talents. And that's just not me. I'm like, listen, I'm going to share everything I know with you. Every bad thing I've gone through, every happy thing I've gone through, every, you know, bad boss, good boss, you know, the highs and the lows. And when I mentor these women, I tell them, you know, I have conversations with the girl and her parents, and I say, listen, this is the hardest business you're going to get into. It is. It's worthwhile and wonderful, but it's hard in the sense that you're going to be fired. It is subjective. It's long nights. It's weekends. It's, you know, not great pay. I mean, there's a lot of, but it's also super rewarding. And if you can handle all that, you know, especially when you want to quit, then you're going to be fine. Then, you know, then let's move forward. And so I think that's probably one of the things I'm most proud of. I mean, yes, I have a Heisman vote, and there's not a lot of women that have that.
Right.
But I'm super proud of the fact that I've shared my gifts and my talents. And when one of my girls, I saw one of my gals at the national championship, and I was just kind of watching her do her thing, and I saw her at the Orange Bowl on national television as she's, you know, sticking the mic in a player's face of being respectful, but doing her job at the same time. I mean, I felt like, you know, like a proud aunt, like a proud big sister, because she wanted to quit at one time, and I didn't let her quit.
Well, I'm glad you're there. In fact, I have a daughter who is soon to be 5 in March, Mackenzie, and glad to have you, because in my family, the women are really big into sports. So
I love it.
So whatever she wants to be, she can. I wanted to talk about, obviously, a very important thing to you that you started changing the narrative. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Thank you so much for bringing it up. Sure. Yeah, I saw in the summer of 2016, the sport that we love, college football, I saw, you know, a major problem. And that was, but I mean, if you looked at the headlines, it was negative, 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 negative. I mean, it was domestic violence, sexual violence. It was across the country from Boise State to Baylor. Penn State stuff had just finished. Nobody was immune. And I remember thinking, my gosh, you know, if we if somebody doesn't know the sport, know the coaches and know the players, they're going to think everybody's like this. You know, everybody's making these bad decisions. So I said, okay, you know, what am I going to do here? I can just say, you know, this, it is what it is, which many people told me that, you know, you're not going to change anything, Rachel. This is the way, you know, guys have been getting in trouble for eons. and we just cover it differently because of social media. And to me, that wasn't acceptable. It just was not acceptable. So I created this curriculum called Changing the Narrative, and it was just audacious. And it was, you know, what if you never were a football player, a baseball player, a basketball player? What? Who are you away from the football field or the diamond? You know, what makes your heart beat faster? Those types of things. And it was actually for high school students. And then my dear friend Kevin Elko said, hey, Jimbo Fisher wants to make you the first female sportscaster to ever address his football team in the summer, in August of 2016. They were doing the Showtime show going as well. And I remember, I mean, just being nervous as a, you know, cat on a wet roof. I was so nervous. But I got in there and did it. And then the next school was Clemson 14 days before they dismantled Ohio State en route to a national championship. And I was there working for the CFP. And you know, I'm just kind of taking it all in. And I didn't put two and two together. But the coaches, you know, came right afterwards and after the game, and they were like, hey, we did it. We changed the narrative. And they were pointing at their bracelets. And Deshaun Watson was like, hey, you're the change of the narrative lady. And from there, it just took off. And now we're 2.5 years later, and I've been at 38 schools. You know, many, many more on the docket. Literally just have booked 5 in the past 2 or 3 days, got 10 to 15 more coming and in 2019. And the next step is, because we so desperately need this at the high school level as well, that I've been working for the past month on virtual training, that my new goal, and I have audacious goals, but my new goal is I want to get it in the hands of every high school across the country so that we can start to get to these kids faster. There was a little boy, even younger, you know, grade school. There was a little boy in Kentucky yesterday that killed himself because he was bullied because he had a colostomy bag. I mean, we can't do this. And not only that, I was the first person on the campus after Tyler Helinski took his life at Washington State. And then there was just another player at Richmond, a good looking kid that had played, you know, 8 games last season, had everything in the world going for him. So that has been a major focus of changing the narrative to land my plane now. We talk about purpose, passion, platform for men. How do we view women? Then how do we treat women? Chivalry is not taught in culture today, okay? And for people to say, well, they should know right and wrong from wrong how to treat a lady. Well, if you never got it or saw it growing up, then how are you supposed to know it? And these coaches only get limited time with them. They want to teach them as much as they can, but they get limited time. So we talk about being a king. So it's purpose, passion, platform, how we view women, treat women, and then we've really added the mental health aspect to it. Because so many of our young men have been taught, and it's been ingrained in them growing up, that you don't talk about if you're hurting. You don't talk about if you're depressed. You don't talk about if you're angry. And so our young men are literally dying inside. And so we've incorporated that and changing the narrative, and I now speak to women as well. So for the women, it's be a queen, and it's straighten that crown. And until you love yourself, truly love yourself, no one else is going to love you. You know, you nobody's going to complete you if you're broken. You got to get whole first, and you dictate how people treat you. And so it's just been absolutely incredible, the life change, people forgiving deadbeat dads, people saying, you know, I'm going to be a better father, I'm going to be a better mother, you know, I'm going to go get help. You know, just incredible stories of life change. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of them. So it really is, and I'll say this, it's my life's work. Yes, I work for Sirius. Yes, I, you know, do all these really neat things. But if I died tomorrow, you would remember me for changing the narrative.
Well, that's what nice lead in there, because I was going to say, I truly believe that God put you out there to your real purpose is changing the narrative. Even though I love listening to you and watching you, I know on ESPN and the ESPN SEC network and all that. I think that gave you the platform to do changing the narrative, right?
Yes. Find your purpose. Yes, absolutely. And you know, I think as I'm a believer, and so for me, I was telling somebody the other day, you know, no part of your life is wasted. And whether you're a believer or not, I think this can apply to you. No part of your life is wasted. No hurt is wasted. For me, it just happens to have applicable scripture with it, which is Romans 8:28. And it says that he uses all things, the good things, the bad things, the happy things, the sad things, like all things come together for his good. And so I didn't know when I actually went to training camp with a, you know, professional indoor football team when I was 26 and lasted for 5 days of two-a-days, 3 hours of football in the morning, 3 hours of football at night, and they tackled me. They beat me black and blue. and I was medically released 5 days in because I was never actually going to play. I didn't know that that would be for something later on, other than just a, you know, feather in my cap and understanding football at a deeper level. You know, I certainly didn't know, meeting my friend Kevin Turner, who had ALS, who taught me the value of life and really the secret to life, and that is it's not about you. You were not born for you. I didn't know that it would also be part of the story, and I certainly didn't know when somebody in my young life that claimed to love me, that drug me from one end of the house to the other by my hair, when I had carpet burns and chunks of missing hair in my head, and there were other people in the house and no one came to help me. You know, I did not know that all those things would be perfectly laid out so that when I go speak to these guys and gals, I can structure this talk in such a way, because people go, do they really listen? Are they on their phones? Are they eating Skittles? Yeah, and I'm like, no, the way that my life has played out, the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, all of it makes this riveting story. And by the end of it, they got their elbows on their knees. They're leaning forward. They've got tears in their eyes. They're in it. They're in it. And the amount of life change is just really staggering.
It is. I'm really proud of you. I appreciate your work very much. And obviously, I want folks to check out the website, too, imchangingthenarrative.org. I think it's great. I love the fact that even though it's hashtag changing the narrative, I love how it was said on there. It's more than just a hashtag. There's a lot of people that I knew say the right things or whatever, but I think you're doing more than that, doing the right things, too. Obviously, folks can follow you on Twitter, at Rachel Barbeau, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I love Twitter. I do. I have to sometimes, you know, steer away from the negative and not get caught up in that because so many people are fighting on it. But it's like my friend Aaron Taylor says, all it is a tool. It's a tool. You can choose whether to use it for good or for bad. I choose to use it for good. I don't choose to use it to fight with people. And you know, and even over the years when people have been mean to me on Twitter, I just retweet them and say something really nice. And it usually just blows their mind. They're like, wait a minute. I just said something degrading to her, you know, and she just retweeted me and said, have a great day, or thanks for listening, you know. So, you know, it's a tool, but I do love to interact with people, and that's how I found you. And also want to thank you for sticking with me. It's been a crazy couple of weeks with the, you know, national championship and just everything going on with the holidays. And so thank you for being tenacious and for seeking me out for this interview. I truly appreciate it.
No doubt about it. I truly believe in God's time, and it was meant to be for us to talk here right now. And so that was a perfect time, no doubt. And my schedule is being a dad, a host of a podcast, a radio show 5 days a week, a husband, all kinds of stuff going on, and working a full-time job. I appreciate your support, too, because there's a lot going on. How can people, by the way, before we let you go, too, about SiriusXM? I know with ESPNU Radio, and you were talking about ACC Network. Mm-hmm. Can you tell them your time so everybody can want people to know when they can listen to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I used to have a Sunday night show on ESPNU, but now I'm kind of all over the place. And so you might hear me on the SEC channel, the ACC channel, ESPNU. I'm all over the place. So there's not a set time anymore, but I do have a distinctive voice, and I laugh at myself. I'm like, wow, you cannot be mistaken with anybody else. Like, there's nobody else that's going to be mistaken for you. So more than likely, if you hear a female, like I said, it might be Nicole Auerbach these days, but in which I welcome her. And I told her the other day on Twitter, it was funny. I said, welcome. We need you. It's been a while. You know, I've been here 5 years, and there's time. There's space for other females in sports talk radio. So tell your 5-year-old daughter that, you know, she can do anything she puts her mind to, anything at all.
No doubt about it. And she's getting ready to do her second year of T-ball with her brother, boy that's a year older, Alexander. So he's a year, and he's actually a year and 4 days apart, older than her. So they almost have the same birthday. So that's a lot of fun. They're almost like twins. So a lot of fun to have them.
Love it.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on, and love to have you back on soon. And good luck to you for everything. And thank you again for all that you're doing for college football, college athletics, and obviously life, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's do a radio show together sometime soon.
All right. Enjoy talking to Rachel, and she wants to come back. And as you heard her say, she wants to do a radio show with me. So we'll see. maybe one day. That would be great. She can be on the show anytime she wants. We appreciate you, Rachel Barbeau. That was a lot of fun, and I appreciate her. Want to also mention that, by the way, folks, I don't want to forget this, too, the baseball banquet. There's only a few tickets left, so if you want to go to the baseball banquet, then you better get on it and call 1-800-ECU. Go online, ecupirates.com. And as we record this podcast, the last I've heard is they had a few left. It's going to be at the new student center on Saturday, February 9th. And you have until the last day you can register, folks, by the way, too, is February the 4th. So that's what they've got to get into all the details about how many people they're going to have and the head count. So make sure you do that. And something I forgot as well, guys, earlier, when we were talking about the big event coming up on a week from Wednesday, February 6th, you need to, Bubba and I talked about it last time, Kyle, you need to make sure that you register on ecupirates.com, right, Bubba?
Right, yeah, and register on ecupirates.com under that event article, and we'll put that on our Facebook page,
okay,
as well as our other social media. You do not have to register to go, but they want you to register so they can get a head count and make sure the light, food, and such is adequate.
They're gonna have hors d'oeuvres and drinks.
Right.
Yeah.
They're gonna have a cash bar.
They're gonna have a cash bar, and okay, we'll see that.
And the club level. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. See, that's nice.
Yeah.
Now, Bubba, who Mike London, new head coach, William & Mary, most likely our opponent when he was at Howard. Who was it that they upset in year one?
UNLV. They were.
I almost said UNLV.
I knew, like you guys said, I thought it was a Mountain West team, but they were a 45-point underdog and knocked off the Rebels.
If you go back and listen to that part of the podcast, you can almost hear me go.
All right, let's go. Hey, Bubba, we had a chance to sit down with our next guest, and that's Courtney Oliver, the softball coach for East Carolina, and let's go to that interview right now. Very excited to have our next guest. It means that we're getting closer and closer to spring to have her on, and excited to have certainly the softball season starting, right, Bubba?
Yeah, we're just a little over 2 weeks away from first pitch down in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and in that tournament with 5 games on opening weekend. We're very excited to have with us the fourth-year coach of the Pirates, Courtney Oliver. Courtney, welcome to the Sports Objective.
Good morning. Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you, Coach. Wanted to get your thoughts on how things are going. I know I saw on ecupirates.com, it looks like you're working with the outfielders, but very intense. Just that still shot, let me know how it looks like things are going well with the winter workouts.
You know, we brought the girls back January 3rd, and they've been working really hard. The one thing that's really blown me away is our culture. Just sitting back and watching them communicate and interact, they have a very good chemistry this year. They love to play for one another. But, you know, every day they're getting better. We're right there. They're improving on all the little things. As a staff, we've kind of switched things up. I've been in the outfield. We've been in the infield. We switched everything up just to get a different look at things. And, you know, I obviously still work with the pitchers, but it's a really good flow right now, and I'm just really proud with how hard the team's working.
I know as recruiting coach, I believe, have I read right, you had the 22nd highest recruiting class last year. How did those girls play coming into this year? How does that help you?
You know, I think that that class is very talented, and they were able to get a lot of experience as freshmen last year. And you know, it's great because they become sophomores. They now have experience. They don't get frazzled as much as a freshman would per se. They bring a lot of energy. They're great kids, and like I said, they're a big part of the culture that's going on here.
Kind of building on Dave's question, 50%. Of the starts last year by freshmen and sophomores. So that was something that really stood out. And two of those freshmen that were key contributors were Aaron Pepping and Whitney Sanford in the circle. So talk a little bit about each of those ladies. And I know Whitney, she struggled with her command at times, but talk about where they are headed into their sophomore seasons.
Yeah, Whitney worked so hard, and it's a credit to her how hard that she worked over the summer. And you know, she's really made some big strides to improve. Her accuracy is better. She's right there. She's spinning the ball. She's much more relaxed in the circle. I think that we're going to get a much seasoned Whitney Sanford than we did last year. She grew from those from her freshman year. And then with Aaron Pepping, you know what you're going to get with her. She's a competitor.
you know, and she's, they're both so different. That's the greatest thing about them. One's down, one's up, east to west, and they complement each other very well. And they're also very, very good teammates where they push each other to be better every day, and they're very competitive. And I think as a coach, that's one of the, that's fun to sit back and look at and see your athletes coaching each other up.
A little bit more about Erin. Last year, she was a 2018 AAC All-Rookie Team selection. She had 13 wins and a little over a 3 ERA. So moving on to the lineup, last year, you hit 38 home runs. One of the big sluggers on that team, Tate McClellan, she's back. You also have the transfer, Rachel McCollum from Campbell, transferring in, and that will help replace the loss of a lady like Meredith Burroughs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, you know, it kind of worked out. We have protection for Tate in the lineup, and, you know, Tate and Rachel are going to protect one another. They've got the pop, so you'll see them somewhere in the middle of our lineup. And, you know, the great thing about those two is that they're very consistent. In practice, they've been very consistent, and, you know, for a coach, that's all you could ask for, just consistent hitters. So, you know, having Rachel come on the team, yes, she replaces Meredith, but she also brings a different dynamic, which is great. And like I said, she just fits right in with that team chemistry.
And in addition, that's what, like I said, you lost Meredith, but then you're bringing Rachel in, and then you have the top four in your lineup back in terms of average in Tyler King. I've already mentioned Tate McClellan. Then you have Kendra Zimba and also Ashley Weingart. So talk a little bit about each of those ladies. Excuse me.
Yeah, Ashley Weingart is she's one of our MVPs. I could tell you could put her anywhere on the field and she'll give you 110%. You know, so we've she's been behind the plate a little bit more this year, which is going to be a new position for her since she started in right field last year. So we're really happy to have her back. We got one more year with her. Like I said, we're going to switch roles. Kendra Ziemba is you know, a staple for us in the middle of the infield. She's our second baseman. Great. She's doing a really good job of leading the team. You know what you're going to get with Kendra. She's got unbelievable energy. And in that middle of the lineup, you know, with Tyler King being back, again, she's a sophomore, started every game for us in center field. There's much more stability in our lineup. They're used to playing with one another. They know their roles on the team. I think that we have the core back in our lineup offensively, which I think is going to help us out a lot.
No doubt about it. Looking at last year's schedule, and this is something that really jumped out to me as far as the results, you started all 6-3, so not a bad start, and then you lost 12 in a row, and then you win 9 out of 10, and then you lose 8 in a row. And we've already talked about the youth of that team, so talk a little bit about last season and the ups and downs, and because in addition to what I've already stated, you had 13 of your 23 wins against teams in the top 100, the likes of JMU and Wichita State. So that's something that shows the potential of this nucleus of young players that you've assembled.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think last year's schedule, I think our strength of schedule was, you know, 23rd in the country, and I wanted them to play the best competition so I could see – so we could see how far, you know, what we needed to work on. And the one thing that I can speak about this nucleus of the team is that they're competitors. You know, they're freshmen then. They learned from their mistakes. I always tell them that a loss isn't a bad thing so long as we learn from it. And, you know, this year they're going to be much, much comfortable. They're going to remember, you know, the mistakes that were made last season. And, you know, We're really looking forward to getting some consistent play and hopefully not have those streaks like we did, as drastic as they were last season. Because when we play and everything's crisp and clean, our defense, when everything looks good, we're going to be in a good spot this year.
Taking a look at this year's schedule, I've already mentioned we open on February 8th with two games on that Friday down in Spartanburg, South Carolina, at the USC Upstate event. Starting with Youngstown State, Miami of Ohio, talk a little bit about that. And then also I noticed it was kind of an unorthodox schedule. It's not unusual to see us playing a lot of games at home early, but we have 16 in a row after that opening weekend on the road. And then after that, we follow that up with 14 on the road. So talk a little bit about this year's schedule.
This year's schedule, we're excited. We're going down to USC Upstate. USC Upstate's a great program. Opening day, you know, we gotta start with our first game. I think that's most important. We're not going to look too far ahead. Being on the road, being at home, obviously we love to play at home. We've got a beautiful stadium that's just got some upgrades to it. Girls get to sleep in their own beds. And then, you know, I also like going on the road quite a bit too, because gets them out of the routine, out of school, and it's a different atmosphere for them when they're on the road. We're really excited about it this year, but we're not looking too far past our opening day. You know, the preseason was designed to get us ready for conference.
Coach, for some of our listeners that aren't as familiar with softball and who the quality teams are, obviously JMU's been a team that's a super regional caliber opponent. In addition to the Dukes, and talk about some of those non-conference opponents, who are the more marquee matchups?
I take every game very serious. We don't overlook any games. JMU has had some great success in the past. We played them quite a bit last year, so we're only playing them one time this year. I think we played them three times last year. So we've got them coming in. We've got BC coming in. We obviously play all of our in-state opponents in UNC, NC State, and Duke. Those are going to be some tough matchups for us, obviously. Everything sets us up for our conference. Our conference is very strong. Last year, our conference RPI was ranked fourth in the country. So that says a lot for the American. And really, our toughest games are in conference.
Coach, you're talking about the conference RPI being fourth, and that's not surprising, because I noticed that even though our record obviously is nowhere close to where we want it, being 23 and 32, I believe it was last season, we still managed to climb into the top 100 in the RPI because of our strength of schedule and because of those 13 quality wins that I mentioned over top 100 teams.
Yeah, we've got a quality conference. We've got great coaches in there, great athletes that compete every day. You know, I think that we had we definitely had four teams that went to the NCAA tournament last year. Our conference is really strong, and you know, it's credit to the coaches and we're fortunate for that we play in a strong conference that, you know, we can get our RPI from conference alone.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, as far as I know in baseball, there's Omaha. So this year, is it always College World Series in Oklahoma City?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think? I know this looks not looking ahead, but what do we have to do to get to that level? What do we have to do as far as even fans, the alums, to support you to get to that level?
I think that everybody needs to support the program, rally around it, have our alumni back in the stands and supporting our current team. I think that we need to take care of the little things, and we don't really talk about winning. Anytime in practice, we don't really talk about winning. All we really talk about are the adjustments that we need to make to be successful. So we don't really go too far and set and say we're going to go to, you know, Oklahoma City. We don't really talk that much in detail about that. We just worry about where we are. We're present in the moment that we're in. And like I said, we just work to get a little bit better every day.
And I know the preparation is a key. If you prepare for it, then I know with you and the coaching staff, they're definitely, the ladies are definitely prepared for each game.
Absolutely.
And that's definitely what it takes. If you're not prepared, then you can't even talk about, you won't even win a single game or just a handful of games. So I know the program is definitely headed the right direction. I know people can get season tickets now, right?
Yes, correct. They're on sale.
They can go to ecupirates.com, or they can certainly go to 1-800-ECU. Coach, we're very excited to have you on and our very first time with you. And we're good luck. Bubba and I know that, and Kyle will get out there to some games this year, and have a daughter, Mackenzie, who is her second year of T-ball coming up. So we definitely want her to be able to see you guys as well.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate Courtney Oliver, and good luck to her. And we'll try to make some softball games this year, because I definitely will. I believe in her. She's a great coach, right, Bubba?
Yeah, and Courtney's and Courtney's brought in some tremendous recruiting classes, and they showed some good things last year for sure. Hopefully this year they'll be able to bust through with a winning season and really, really take some strides toward where I think she's got in this program.
And she definitely will. And by the way, folks, for baseball or softball season tickets, again, go to ecupirates.com. You can dial 1-800-DIAL-ECU.
I noticed a trend here. With Rachel Barbeau and then Courtney Oliver, you interviewed two lovely ladies there. And who's left out of these interviews? Well, it's Kyle from LaGrange. Now, it could be a conspiracy, but what I think it is just pure good old-fashioned jealousy. Both know I would overshine you with an interview with a lady. My voice, my suaveness, my debonairs, my pure damn personality.
Don't
want to be outshadowed with the ladies.
That's absolutely correct. So you got me.
I do have a question for Rachel Barbeau next time. We have her on.
Okay.
So it's a good question. I think you'll enjoy it. So we'll save that for the next time we have Rachel.
All right, do you guys have anything before we go?
Yeah, there are a couple things that I wanted to a few things I wanted to mention. One is, we were actually talking earlier tonight, how about what West Virginia went through on its trip to play number one Tennessee. Now, the Mountaineers lost
to Pittsburgh, or were they flying from somewhere else, Bubba?
I did not see, but I would guess so. But
okay.
But I'm not sure where they were flying out of, but... But anyway, they were playing
road games or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And they were playing number one Tennessee in Knoxville on Saturday night. And so on Friday, when they're trying to fly to Knoxville, somehow they managed to get their entire travel party on the wrong plane and ended up in Phoenix. So,
how do you do that? How in the hell? It ain't just like Bubba and I go to the airport and we're going to fly from RDU to Knoxville, and somehow the two of us goofballs just get on the wrong plane. You got an entire travel party. You got coaches, players, potentially administration from the school. You're talking 25, 30 people? How in the hell does that amount of people get on the wrong plane? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I don't understand how that happens, because you guys know when our guys go to used to be Kinston, but now it's Greenville, because the runway for a number of years now has been long enough. But how can you get on a, was it a non, help me out, Bub, I've been wanting to ask both of you.
It's probably commercial. A lot of times basketball flies commercial.
Was it a non-chartered plane?
I don't know. That's what I didn't.
Had to have been. I mean,
It had to be.
Good God!
Yeah.
How do you get a charter
plane? Yeah.
And if you got on a charter plane and went to Phoenix, that means somebody else got on the charter plane and went to Knoxville.
Somebody got a free ride tonight.
But man, I would have loved to have had Bob Huggins mic'd up and just
when
they realized what the deal was, and just, yeah, you'd have loved to have had a cam there and just seen everybody's reaction and heard Huggins' reaction.
Well, it had to be a commercial flight, because if not, if you're in the air and you're flying out of Pittsburgh, which I'm assuming that's where they're flying out of, and you're on the way to, well, you're going to realize there after Pittsburgh to Knoxville should be like an hour and a half, maybe it's about
a flight. Sure, yeah.
So you're going to realize, like, pretty soon, wait a damn minute, why are we still in the air? You would just land it somewhere and fuel up and hit back to Knoxville if it was chartered. So there's no way. It had to be a commercial flight.
But awesome story when I saw that earlier, and that was definitely provided me a good laugh. And
basically, yeah, it's Huggy Bear.
Yeah.
Old Bob Huggins.
Of all the coaches for it to happen to.
It couldn't happen to a better one.
Yeah, when you see Huggy Bear on the sideline, so red-faced, I'm sure you saw a similar face. And those on the flight saw a similar face. But
Somebody, I got a feeling somebody's losing their job over this. That has got to be somebody. That's got to be an error somehow. It makes me wonder if the damn wrong tickets were bought. If it was a commercial flight, if somebody from the whoever schedules their flight plans has to, you know, buy tickets for everybody involved, I wonder if the damn wrong tickets were bought. Because, you know, they scan us. Assuming that, you know, it's just like everybody else goes on a flight, there's a ticket, right? You have a ticket.
I was wondering the same thing if that's easy to do. I mean, I'm saying that makes more sense. My point is that makes more sense than them just walking on the wrong plane.
Yeah, because I'd love to know the answer. We got to do more research.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll conduct some more research, and in our next episode, we'll follow up on that. But something else of note and that transpired this afternoon, saw it on social media, and we'll certainly try to retweet it and share it on our Facebook. Tremendous comeback by the UTSA Roadrunners over Old Dominion. UTSA trailed by 17 with 3:08 to play and came back and beat the Monarchs. So just an unbelievable finish there. And then also ECU indoor track, Nick Cha-Cha, he set the school record in the 5K. Of course, that's 3.1 miles. He ran 14 minutes and 22.67 seconds. So absolutely smoking there by Nick Cha-Cha. Congrats to him on setting an ECU school record.
That's around a four-minute mile.
Yeah, one thing, since we're just talking about various sports, I want to get this in. Jake Hager, better known as Jack Swagger in the WWE, a guy I was a big fan of in the WWE, a guy who has a tremendous background, holds the NCAA pins record at the University of Oklahoma. He had 30 straight wins by pin. Great collegiate wrestler, played football at Oklahoma also before he quit to become a full-time wrestler there. WWE career, he got pushed. For whatever reason, the fans just wouldn't get behind him. Old-school guy. He made the transition to MMA, made his debut for Bellator Saturday night, which is the number two MMA promotion behind UFC. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Bellator. But he was fighting for Bellator, made his debut Saturday night, and won his first ever, you know, real fight, his first MMA fight, and destroyed the guy in the first round. So hats off to Jake Hager, better known as the All-American Jack Swagger.
One other thing I wanted to mention, Dave,
is the American standings.
I see you guys are fired up about that like I am.
But
left you speechless.
Yeah, but Cincinnati, since we knocked those guys off 3 weeks ago, they've won six straight, and they're sitting atop the conference with Houston. And UCF actually suffered their second defeat today as Memphis took them down out in the FedEx Forum by, I think it was 20 points.
For Kyle from McGrane's Barber and Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.